Thank you so much, Amy. I felt myself just go, yeah, okay. I am, I am, I am. And we are today in the second week of Advent, and today we light the candle of faith. Hope was last week, faith this week, so I'm going to light them both. I have faith that it will light. There we go. All right. So I'd like to begin this morning on that faith topic and that beautiful song by Amy. And the thing that got me about that song was the heartbeat on the guitar. Just like, okay. And it moves me into this place of trust and faith. Faith knowing that there is that thing that we call God or whatever name we give it that is beating our hearts in every moment. And I was looking for a reading, and I'll just share with you that there was a little confusion this week between the team and what we were going to say and what we were going to talk about for faith. And we came full circle. And I found this letter last week by Dr. Ernest Holmes, who was the founder of Religious Science, Science of Mind. And it is a Christmas letter from Dr. Ernest Holmes that he wrote in 1951. And so I'm going to open with that today. Christmas is for remembrance. The love manifested through our gifts to each other typifies the offer of life and the givingness of spirit to its creations. The hands of the eternal are outstretched through our hands, and the heart of the infinite beats in the human breast. But the giver must give of himself, for the gift without the giver is bare. It is not, then, in lavish gifts that we find true giving, but in the sweet simplicity of remembrance, in the kindly thought, in the tolerant mind, and the gentle act. Love alone can give love, sympathy alone can sympathize, and only goodness can really do or be good. The one who gives for reward does not give it all. He seeks to bargain, to trade for spiritual gifts, hence he senses a loss in his own giving and finds no completion through the act. But he who gives half of his meat to the hungry feels justified and is warmed by a real sense of camaradership. He has established an actual unity between himself and the other offspring of creation. Great causes succeed when there is a giving of humanity to humanity. With the check must come the one who wrote it, his interest, his enthusiasm, and his love. The check must be a symbol of his desire to impart of himself. Then shall it multiply its benefits and do good. Charity is cold, but love is warm. When heart speaks to heart, a divine conversation has taken place, a heavenly discourse. Each of us has something to give. Let us see that he gives of his best. If we are bringing our gifts to the altar of love, nothing less than the best will be acceptable. Nothing less than all is enough. May the real spirit of Christmas, the giving of the self to life, enter and abide in you now and through all times. Isn't that something? Good old Ernie, Dr. Ernest. And I'm talking today about, the talk title is What's in Your Wallet? And we've probably all heard the commercial. And I don't need to go into any of the details because you know the tagline, what's in your wallet. But what I'm talking about today is exactly what Ernest Holmes was talking about, is giving from a joyful heart, a complete heart, a full and open and authentic heart. We think of prosperity. We talk about a lot about giving and receiving this time of year, of course. And as what's really cool is where I was writing my talk was Ernest is hitting all the points, or I should say I'm probably hitting all of his points through the talk here because I am a student of Ernest Holmes. And prosperity, giving and receiving, two sides of the same spiritual coin, and we call it spiritual coin. And we know that the word money, the word tithing, the word donation can, everything, just the word money can be so loaded for so many people, right? And especially this time of year where we are in this crazy, crazy time that none of us has ever been through before. And there is a tendency with all of the isolating and not connecting and all of these things to this, on the one hand, this pull to pull in and conserve our resources. Maybe hoard toilet paper. I don't know. I still don't understand it. Although I do understand it from a spiritual perspective and a consciousness perspective, it is a consciousness of fear and lack. And so our tendency might be in this swirling of not knowing what's coming in next, not knowing what's coming in the next moment sometimes, that our tendency may be to pull in and become fearful. And that blocks the flow. We might think that's counterintuitive. You know, if times are a little tighter, we might need to tighten the checkbook a little bit, when the opposite is actually where we need to be putting our attention and our focus. The thing that I know of limitation, and I can feel it in my body. I am a regular tither, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I can tell when I'm trying to push the river, when I go into fear, when I am feeling a sense of lack in my life, whether it's money or whether it's from communication, connection to other people, there is an enormous sense of disconnect. In the last 9 months, I think that we have probably all felt. And we have to find new ways of being connected, of reaching out, of making sure that we are getting that heart-to-heart heartbeat in some way, shape, or form. I've been in a lot of classes in ministerial school, and I've also been some other places where people have talked about the coldness of being in online conferences and online meetings. But honestly, I have to say, when the intention is set for true connection, I've had some extraordinary experiences in Zoom classes and some Zoom groups that I'm in that we meet weekly. There has been some deep authentic sharing and deep connection. And it's bolstered by this sense that we can't be physically together right now. And so there is a faith that our faith in technology, as we do weekly here, our faith in technology that it is going to work, and it does work the way it needs to. We put our faith in the technology right now because it is kind of our only choice if we're going to connect. And if that's the technology of a phone call or a text or a private message in social media, we are dependent. We are so dependent on that. So part of the prosperity, and we've talked about this through the whole month of November, and we talk about it here all the time in this church, is our gratitude practice. And being grateful for what is right now. As I said, you know, even just in the last week, I know and I can feel when I'm going into fear, when some circumstance or situation that seems to come out of the blue is telling me, oh my God, the flow has stopped. The sky is falling. Everything's going to go to hell. It's not. The practice is, and I've learned this, and I know so many of you do this as well, is taking a breath and saying, okay, what is true in the moment right now? Do I have everything that I need? Do I have enough oxygen? Am I breathing? Clearly, I have enough food and I have enough water because I'm upright and I'm functional. In this human body, I am alive. And right there in the moment is really all I need to remember. And if I still feel a little bit stressed about it, I move into a breathing practice. And I move into the breathing practice so that I can open myself up to see everything that I have in my life right now that I am so grateful for. Those connections online, I am so grateful for, as I said. And this last week alone, I don't know if it was the just that we're moving into the holidays and there's a subconscious kind of not going to be together with Thanksgiving and so forth. I was quite fine being a very quiet Thanksgiving this year, but I don't know what it was this last week, but something opened up in me that I found for 2 or 3 days in a row, and I'm going to do it right now, is that there's just these moments of gratitude and grief at the same time. And I tear up, and I well up, but I open up. And when I open up, I can see, and I've done these, many of you that are artists and you're familiar with morning pages, or if you journal regularly in the morning, or if you have a gratitude journal, I do all three. My morning pages the last week has just been 30 minutes of this is what I'm grateful for. And I can tell you, my friends, how powerful a practice that is, because one of the groups that I was in this last week, we were talking about how profound that feeling is to recognize the paradox of being in grief and the other side being in absolute, complete gratitude. And in the middle of it, there's tears on both sides. I am grateful beyond measure for this community, Unity of Wimberley community, and the people in this room today, the crew that we have, beyond professional and flexible and resilient and creative and funny. And one of the things that I am, as I said earlier, I am a regular tither. And even though this is the majority of my job, my income producing, my stream of income producing, I tithe to this organization. You might say, well, that's kind of, well, you're tithing to yourself. Actually, no, I'm doing what Ernest Holmes talks about in that letter, which is I am giving with a full heart to something that fills me, moves me every single day. The gratitude I have for being able to work with Reverend Jill is beyond measure. I give to this organization because there is something here, and those of you who had the privilege of being in the room before we shut down for COVID, you know that feeling. You know the overflowing love that moves in this place, the care that we have for one another. Those of you who have just become familiar with us online, I absolutely bless the day that you will be able to come and visit us in person when we get the doors open again. So I moved this to this place to talk about the prosperity consciousness of giving to where you are spiritually fed. We've heard that. We've heard it in our prosperity classes. No, I know many of you know about Edwin Gaines and the older Catherine Ponder, the 4 T's. Prosperity Plus, any of the classes or books that you've ever read on prosperity, the number one thing is to move your head into your heart and give from the heart. Give from that open and authentic place of joy. When Ernest talks about giving for the intention of getting, that's a block. That's one of those things that will block the flow immediately. When you are giving out of a sense of obligation, the energy's got to shift. It's got to shift to being overjoyed, overflowing with love, overflowing with gratitude. And that may be here. That may be Unity of Wimberley, that you say, this is where all of my tithe, and tithe, people, let's remember this, is 10%. That is what the word means. Anything less than is an offering. It is greatly received. But you're going to be hearing more about prosperity, of course, in the new year. But I'm just going to remind you, we mix up, oh, everybody's tithing. No, tithing is 10%. Tithing, nobody can explain scientifically any other way why it works. We just know that it does. It is that thing that we talk about with faith. We have faith. We don't know why math works. We have made all of the construct around it to put theories into practice. But the principle of mathematics from the get-go, why does it work? We don't know. We just know it does. It's spiritual law. Tithing works because it's an exchange of energy. It's the giving and the receiving. The blocks, some of the other blocks, one of the biggest blocks to our good, to the flow of our good coming to us, is, take a deep breath, not being willing to forgive. Forgive ourselves or others, but most importantly, ourselves. The minute we hang on to any kind of resentment, whether it's about money or not, we are stopping the heart energy. And very briefly, in our practice, we know our forgiveness practice is not about letting somebody else off the hook. It is about taking ourselves off of that cross, bearing the pain and the suffering and whatever the incident was that happened that caused us the pain. We can decide to let that pain define us, or we can move beyond it. And moving beyond it will open the flow to your good, to all of our good. So giving to get with the intention, I've got to get something for this. There's strings attached. That is not giving openly, freely from an unconditionally loving heart. And we encourage here, especially in all of our classes, I know Reverend Jill does, I do, we talk about it all the time. Wherever it is in the world that you feel spiritually fed, give to it. When it's here, awesome, we love it, thank you. But if it is somewhere, if it's an author, a poet, an artist, somebody who made you an incredible meal at some point, someone who just you had a wonderful conversation with, and I've done this before, and people have done this with me, you just happen to have one of those conversations that you know has just been, everything's just been put out on the table lovingly, and it's been safely surrounded and honored and respected, all of the words that have been exchanged. And I've had that experience where I've done that with somebody, and it's just it lights you up, it fills you up, and I know that many of you have had those experiences. And invariably, in some way, down, shape, or form, I'll get a thank you note in the mail or a tithe. Somebody will tithe to me for that, and I do it for other people as well. It's like when you get in the habit of being in the flow with spirit, with its infinitely abundant nature, it's fun. If there is any part of you in this holiday season or any other time during the year, as I said, where you feel like you have to give something, it's better if you don't give at all. From an energetic standpoint, it is better if you just say, you know what, I'm feeling too much, you know, blocking the flow. I'm feeling too much fear. I'm feeling too much lack. The energy that you place around that is like dynamite. It will blow up in your face. And the reason being is that it's this push, pull, struggle, lack, everything that is not the flow. It is not the ease. It's not the grace. It's not the feeling of, oh my God, I am one with the universe. I am one with God. I am one with everybody on this planet. And that's why I direct you back when you're feeling that, when you're feeling like you're pushing the river and you gotta just stop and go back and recognize, in this moment, I'm breathing, my heart's beating, I can see, I can hear, I'm alive in the world. Great start. When Ernest talks about this, about the check, great causes succeed when there is a giving of humanity to humanity. That's what we ask every week of you, is to go to the place of humanity, go to the heart space, take those that love that you feel for this organization, for this community, and give from that place. Because he says, with the check must come the one who wrote it. You could, you know, toss it off and not think about it, but put your love into it. With the check must come the one who wrote it, his interest, his enthusiasm, and his love. The check must be a symbol of his desire to impart of himself. Then shall it multiply its benefits and do good. We're really good at that here. You know that we tithe regularly to the community at large because we can and because we know that it is our great honor. Because what it does is it connects us. Not just inside these walls, not just inside this community that we call Unity of Wimberley, but the world. Humanity as a whole. And it is a joy to be able to do that. And you, with the gifts that you send here, we tithe on those every month so that your good here gets circulated there and there and there and there and there. And it shows. It really shows. So we talked about unforgiveness. We talked about giving to get. We talked about all of the giving part. But the flip side of that coin is there's got to be a receiver, right? We also block the good of our flow when we are unwilling receivers. And you might say, well, shoot, how am I an unwilling receiver? Somebody handed me a bag of money right now, I'd take it. On the surface, yes. But if you think about it, and I think about this too, if you think about it, are you putting some conditions around it? How good are you at just receiving a compliment? When someone says, I love this. I love what you said. You're wearing a great jacket, whatever that might be. How good are you saying thank you? How good are you at just receiving? It is hard. I know it's so hard for a lot of people to receive a compliment. And another way it blocks us, that we block it from ourselves, is we don't receive help when it's offered. That is an enormous block to our good. When you see somebody, and this will probably happen this year, if you are out and about, if you're at the grocery store or you're picking up packages or you're, you know, whatever it might be, going to the post office, this would be the best example. You will see probably somebody carrying an armload of packages ready to be mailed, and you say to them, can I help you? And they'll go, oh no, I got it. How does that make you feel as the giver? It stops the flow, doesn't it? You just kind of go, okay, have it your way. You know, drop all your boxes. It's okay. Doesn't matter. So you know what that feeling is. You know how it feels when somebody refuses a gift from you. When somebody just says, oh no, I got this, got it on my own, it's like, well, then have at it. Because we, as Spirit in expression, are doing the very same thing that Spirit is doing with us. If we say, oh no, I got this, God, I'm smarter than you, God is not out there, right? But it's the idea. We say, no, I got this. I don't need any help at all. Spirit just stands there and goes, well, okay, I'll wait until you are receptive. And we could be standing all day long, sitting on our yoga mat or our meditation cushion or in prayer at our altars or whatever it is out in nature saying, God, please help me, please help me, please help me. The help comes and we go, oh, it's not how I wanted it. It's not how I think it should be. So, nope, going to pass it on. And then, fine, move on. So practice being a good receiver, because our relationship with Spirit is absolutely reciprocal. It has to be. It must be, by spiritual law, reciprocal. Otherwise, that whole idea of free will goes right out the window. What it means is then that there is the duality of something outside of us causing things to happen to us, making our lives miserable or joyful, capriciously. And we just go, oh, okay. Well, I guess that happened. Oh, shoot. We have the gift that we have to acknowledge that we have been given. We have to acknowledge that we have received the message that we can work in concert and in harmony with that energy. So I invite you this holiday season and beyond to give where you are spiritually fed. And the last part of that piece is too, believing when you ask for something. We've grown up with the whole idea that, you know, seeing is believing, the skeptics, lack-based consciousness. We have flipped it on its head. We flip it on its head all the time here. You must believe it before you will see it. And so I am just going to ask today of you watching, whether today or down the line, I believe that this community is making an enormous difference in the world. I believe that everybody in this community, whether you are an official member or not, whether you are a volunteer or not, whether you are on staff or not, whether you are just a visitor for the first time today, the fact that you showed up here says there's something going on here that is speaking to you. And I am so grateful that you found us. So I'm going to ask, believing that your heart is opened enough and continues to remain open enough for you to give generously to this organization, so that we can continue this amazing team to bring you Sunday services and guest musicians and in-house musicians and Reverend Jill and our weekly things on Tuesdays and Thursdays and all of the other things that are happening right now online, so that we know that when we do open the doors, we will have doors to open. I'm just going to put it that way. We don't ask without believing, and I believe in you. I believe in this organization. I believe in this community. I believe in the spirit of love, and I believe that when we all do this together, we will be absolutely unstoppable in the world. And if you are here listening, something in your heart is moving that you want to make a difference in the world, stick with us. I think it's happening. There's more to come. And I bless you absolutely in the giving and the receiving. Thank you. Let's move into meditation. Oops. Gonna need those later. So I invite you to take a deep, full, prosperous breath. And I invite you to breathe that relaxing, freeing, grounding breath into that heart space. and continue to visualize it expanding. Visualize the light of a candle. Visualize the light on a holiday display. Visualize the light of the stars at night. Visualize perhaps the porch light. On your home or someone else's where you feel home. Or the light in the window that says welcome. And know that that light simply the representation of the spark, the divine spark of spirit within each of us. And let these next words that I say become yours. In this blessing, in this affirmative prayer, in this spiritual mind treatment about giving, receiving, being love. For I know that that light light of love that is never extinguished in anyone. I know that it is not extinguished in anyone. It may appear to be blocked or covered by fear, by just a practiced fear. Practiced habit of thinking there's never enough. What I know is that place within everyone, that light and that spark of love is now breathed into, ignited. Into a glow, a warm, warming, bright, brilliant glow that radiates. And what I know and affirm for everyone listening to this, and everyone who will listen, and those who don't even know they are listening, I speak to that place in each heart. That place that knows absolutely there is something that loves. Something that fills. Fills that place. So that the doors open. And I know and I affirm for everyone in this prayer, speaking to that place in the deep subconscious that may not recognize that love and that infinite abundance and that unconditional love. That the light in someone else opens. possibility, the door of possibility, so that any closed heart can say, well, what if? What if? What if there is indeed a place that I can tap into that has all of the answers and all of the solutions and all of the new ways of looking at old problems or what appear to be problems so that I can feel at peace? And I can feel grounded and I can feel connected and I can feel myself opening to want to give more. What if? And so I speak into that what if place that says, yes, it is possible, and it is not only possible, it is probable, and it is done. It is done in that one mind that we have access to for every answer, every solution, every bit of comfort, supply, peace, harmony, joy, beauty. Every bit of it exists. And so I know and I affirm that we open. We open with faith, we open with trust, that we are supported in doing so, that it's safe to do so. It is safe to move into a place of recognizing that we are divine. It is safe to move into that place of knowing that we are generous givers and joyful receivers. That as we go about our worldly activities, we can take a breath in every moment, any moment, and remember, fear doesn't work. Fear does not work when we are trying to be expansive. Fear does not work when we are trying to bring more into the world. And so we can breathe into knowing that there is that strength. There is that infinite supply. Even if it's just for a moment, it's a start, it's a spark. I have faith. I have faith in the connection of the heart that transcends any technology, any geographical distance, and even any distance for someone who may no longer be on this human plane. Because that heart, that spark, that love is God. It is here, it is now, it is present, it is in us, it is through, it is as us, expressing as us. And for this, I am so grateful. And I know this gratitude welling up in me is something that can radiate, and I know it radiates from each of us as well, everyone. So that we are making that difference in the world.
It is all God. It is all good, my friends. And any appearance otherwise is simply a gift to be received that is moving us into a greater expression of that which created us. And so with this grateful heart, to know this truth, I let go. I let these words go into that law that only knows yes. And knowing that it is so, so good. Because it is God, it cannot be anything else. I let it be. Thank you all. Thank you, God. And so it is.